bird note. You're listening to one of the most peculiar and memorable of all North American bird voices. This bird's deep, resonant calls have earned it nicknames like the Thunder Pumper and the Stake Driver. It's an American bittern. This tall, slender member of the heron family is incredibly well camouflaged with beige and brown vertical stripes. And when it stretches its neck and points its beak toward the sky, it blends in with the dense marshes where it spends most of its time. In the Old Testament, bitterns were associated with evil and desolation, perhaps because their eerie calls reminded people of the dank bogs. But we now know wetlands are places of incredible diversity and filled with life. Bitterns nest in wetlands throughout much of Canada, and they winter along both U.S. coasts south into Central America. But in some places, bitterns are in serious trouble. Much of the shallow marshland they rely on has been drained for development or polluted with chemicals and silt. Expansive and healthy freshwater marshes are crucial to the bittern's continued welfare and to a natural world that includes their remarkable voices. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Bird Note is supported by the Lenore Hanauer Foundation of Seattle.
CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Supported and empowered by the students of SFU and listeners like you. For your community, by your community. You are CJSF.
Published our report analyzing Israel's conduct in the Gaza Strip pursuant to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. The commission concluded that Israel has committed genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza and that it is continuing with that genocide. Every day that passes, the killings and the starvation of the Palestinians continue. The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear as we continue to witness the destruction of Palestinians in Gaza. The Commission finds it is genocide. The Commission concludes that statements made by Israeli authorities are direct evidence of genocidal intent.
That's Navi Pillay, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Navi Pillay, Chris Sidoti, and Irene Khan on Israel's genocide in Gaza, the UN report. In mid-September, the UN issued a report stating that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Israel vehemently denies the charge. Genocide is the crime of crimes. It's a highly charged and loaded word. To verify it requires clear and unambiguous evidence. The term was coined by the Polish-Jewish lawyer Raphael Lemkin. The term genocide combines the Greek prefix genos, which means race or tribe, with the Latin suffix side, killing. Lemkin was aware of the Armenian genocide carried out by the Turks earlier in the 20th century. During the Holocaust, he lost many family members. Lemkin and others were responsible for the Genocide Convention, which was passed unanimously by the UN in 1948. In addition to the recently released UN report, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the International Association of Genocide Scholars, as well as two prominent Israeli rights organizations, B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights Israel, and other groups, declared that Israel's military actions in Gaza constitute genocide. We begin this program with Irene Khan. She's followed by Navi Pillay, and Chris Sidoti. The moderator is Todd Pittman, Media Advisor, UN Human Rights Office. They spoke at the UN in Geneva in mid-September. Irene Khan is the UN Special Rapporteur on the Promotion and Protection of the Right to Freedom of Opinion and Expression. Navi Pillay is Chair of the UN Independent Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel. Chris Sidoti is a member of the UN Independent Commission. And now, Irene Khan.
Gaza has become the deadliest conflict ever for journalists. More journalists have been killed in Gaza than in both world wars, Vietnam War, wars in Yugoslavia, and the war in Afghanistan combined, according to one research institute. The UN number right now is 252, but that is, of course, likely to go up because every week we hear news of more killings. In August alone, 9 journalists were killed in 3 horrific, bloody incidents, as you may remember. Many of these 252 journalists have been targeted, by which we mean deliberately picked out and killed because of the work that they are doing to expose the atrocities, the crimes, the genocide on the ground. Let me spend 1 minute on the strategy that Israel seems to have developed, where they will first delegitimize and discredit a journalist. Smear campaigns are started accusing the journalists of being terrorist supporters or terrorists themselves, and then they are killed. So it is not just killing journalists, but killing. The attempt is being very clearly made here to kill the story, because local journalists in Gaza today are carrying the brunt of that killing spree, because they are the ones, only ones, who are there. Gaza, what is happening in Gaza is extremely unusual in that I cannot recall another situation where a member state of the United Nations has denied access to independent international media for a conflict, for atrocities, for the unfolding of genocide, and now genocide actually happening. We have not seen in any other country a situation like that happening, where international media are being denied independent access. The burden then falls on the local journalists who are being picked out, as I mentioned, labeled as terrorists and killed. Journalism is not terrorism. Journalism is not a crime. Journalists are civilians under international humanitarian law and therefore protected like other civilians. However, journalists, because of the nature of their war, have to go where the fighting is. They cannot flee away from the fighting, and they are being then deliberately picked out and killed. International media have been denied access. Al Jazeera has been actually banned from even operating in the West Bank or in Israel itself. As Francesca Albanese, as you know, has written about the anatomy of genocide and the economy of genocide, and I would say that the story of the way in which journalists are being killed, silenced, killing journalists, murdered, in fact, is the cover-up of genocide, because these local journalists are the main source for news right now from the ground up. And if they can be stopped, if the information that is leaking out to the world can be stopped somehow, the Israeli Defense Forces believe that they can continue to do what they are doing with impunity. And that actually is the critical word here, impunity. Israel has never been held accountable. Israel has never allowed independent investigation of a single killing of a journalist ever in the Palestinian occupied territories. We have cases going back 20 years that have not ever been investigated internationally. And that, of course, has created this environment of permissibility in which the Israeli Defense Forces can do what they want to destroy those who are daring to expose the truth on the ground. And that, to me, is a big tragedy, certainly for the journalists themselves, certainly for the genocide in Gaza, but I think for media freedom around the world, a terrible precedent here is being made. And those countries that champion media freedom, those who speak about independent media, I hold them responsible at this stage. They must bring pressure to bear on Israel to allow independent investigation of the killings, to allow international access to international independent media. The very presence of international independent media will give some degree of protection to local journalists who are out there working alone, and of course, to stop the killing itself. Without journalists, we know that this story will never be complete. The information will be very difficult to get. Already, local journalists are suffering the same conditions like the rest of the population, looking for food, water, shelter. They've had family members killed, and yet they continue. Many of them continue very bravely to report. But how long can that go on happening? In fact, in my last press release, the title was "States Must Stop Israel Before All Journalists in Gaza Are Silenced." And that is what I fear. I hope very much that you will speak up for those in your own community, journalists in your own professional community, speak up loud and clear that this must come to an end and Israel must be held accountable. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us at this press conference here in Geneva with the Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel. The commission is here to share with you the findings of their latest report to the Human Rights Council and answer any questions you may have about that report on the situation in Gaza. We'll start today with an opening statement by the chair, Ms. Navi Pillay, then we'll open the floor to your questions. Thank you.
Today, we published our report analyzing Israel's conduct in the Gaza Strip, pursuant to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. The Commission concluded that Israel has committed genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza and that it is continuing with that genocide. It is now almost 2 years since Israel launched its military campaign in the Gaza Strip in October 2023. This has been the most ruthless, prolonged, and widespread attack against the Palestinian people since 1948. Every day that passes, the killings and the starvation of the Palestinians continue. On 22nd August, the Famine Review Committee determined that famine is currently occurring in Gaza Governorate. At the time, the committee had projected famine thresholds to be crossed in Deir al-Balah and Khan Yunis Governorates in the coming weeks. The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear as we continue to witness the destruction of Palestinians in Gaza. The Commission finds it is genocide. In our report, the Commission found that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces committed and are continuing to commit the following underlying acts of genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. One, killing members of the Group 2, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. 3, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. And 4, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. On the specific intent of genocide, the Commission concludes that statements made by Israeli authorities are direct evidence of genocidal intent. The Commission also concludes that the pattern of conduct is circumstantial evidence for genocidal intent, and that genocidal intent was the only reasonable inference that could be drawn from a totality of the evidence. Therefore, the Commission concludes that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces have the genocidal intent to destroy, in whole or in part, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The Commission finds that the Israeli political and military leaders are agents of the State of Israel. Therefore, their acts are attributable to the State of Israel. The Commission therefore concludes that the State of Israel bears responsibility for the failure to prevent genocide, for the commission of genocide, and for the failure to punish genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. On incitement to genocide, the Commission concludes that many Israeli political and military leaders, including President Isaac Herzog, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and then Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, had incited the commission of genocide, and that Israeli authorities have failed to take action against them to punish this incitement. This report is the result of almost 2 years of work. The commission began its investigation immediately on 7th October 2023, and has documented more than 16,000 pieces of evidentiary materials to date. The Commission has published 3 mandated reports and 3 thematic papers since 7th October 2023. And our findings in this report are based on the factual findings contained in all the reports that we had published since 7th October 23, as well as the findings from our upcoming mandated report to the General Assembly in October 2025. The analysis contained in this report relates solely to the determination of genocide in the Gaza Strip between October 2023 and July 2025. The Commission nevertheless raises the serious concern that the specific intent to destroy the Palestinians as a whole is guiding Israel in its operations in the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory, that is, the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. It is also important to note that the events in Gaza since 7th October 2023 have not occurred in isolation. They were preceded by decades of unlawful occupation and repression under an ideology requiring the removal of the Palestinian population from their lands and their replacement. We recommend all member states, especially those with influence over Israel, to effect an immediate halt to the killing and harming of civilians in Gaza, to guarantee humanitarian access to Gaza, and to prevent further destruction of life and suspend arms transfers or financial assistance that could contribute to further genocidal acts. The Genocide Convention was born out of humanity's darkest chapters. Today, we witness in real time how the promise of never again is broken and tested in the eyes of the world. The ongoing genocide in Gaza is a moral outrage and a legal emergency. Member states must act now. There is no need to wait for the International Court of Justice to declare it a genocide. All states are obligated to use whatever means within its power to prevent the commission of genocide. And so we urge member states to ensure accountability for any crimes that have been committed and prevent further crimes from being committed, not just in Gaza, but the entire occupied Palestinian territory. So that's the end of my statement. And my colleague Chris Sidoti and I are here to respond to your questions, if any. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pele. Now we'll open the floor to questions for the chair and the fellow commissioner, Chris Sidoti. We'll start on the right side. Please identify yourself and the media outlet that you work for.
Laurent Ciro, Swiss News Agency. Thanks for the press conference. You mentioned 4 out of 5 categories, components of genocide that are whose conditions are fulfilled in that case. Could you say why the fifth one has not been met?
The fifth category of genocidal act is the transfer of children from one group to another group. And the reason why that was not established is because we have no evidence of it. This has been an issue in other situations. It is particularly a much debated issue in relation to the Russia-Ukraine dispute, where Ukrainian children were taken to Russia. But we have no evidence that that category, Category 5, has arisen in the case of Gaza or the West Bank.
Thank you. Now we'll go again to the front row. Jamie Keaton from the Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Madame Pillay, and hi, Mr. Sidoti. Thank you for your report. I have two questions. The first is the Israeli Foreign Ministry today decried a distorted and false report and said that three individuals, so referring to the Commission of Inquiry, three individuals serving as Hamas proxies notorious for their openly anti-Semitic positions. Could you please comment on that? Your response. And then my second question is, you talk about countries need to act. There has been a widespread condemnation across the world, not just from advocacy groups, but also governments and others. It seems to me that there's a number of countries that have been, let's say, more reticent to condemn Israel's behavior. I'm thinking particularly the United States and Germany. Could you please give us your appeal directly to those two countries? Because you're saying countries in general, but could you be specific to those two countries, please?
Can I respond? I've got the chair's permission, Jamie, to answer your first question. These reports should be taken seriously, but honestly, the Israeli responses are becoming so boring. You know, they say the same thing every time. They're producing the responses by ChatGPT these days, and they spend so much money in the foreign ministry on propaganda, you'd think that they would actually come up with something original. I would want them to engage with the evidence, but they never engage with the evidence. They put the report into ChatGPT, and then they put out the standard response. So no one takes it seriously, and Jamie, you shouldn't either.
You know, this is 2 years' work on our part, painstakingly gathering the facts. You know, we're very aware that we have a mandate to you can't hear me? All right. So we have a mandate that requires us to share this information to judicial institutions, and we have not only the ICC, but national judiciaries. There was one request. And so we are very, very careful to ensure that we personally investigate and verify every fact here. We even quote the figures released by Israel. And I was labeled anti-Semitic only when I took over as chair of this commission. I served 6 years as High Commissioner for Human Rights, and Israel invited me, the only High Commissioner, to go on a mission to Israel. And they mentioned the balance with which I come in. So I'm sorry to bring in the personal element, but I, as Chris said, I wish they'll tell us where we went wrong on these facts. Or just cooperate with us if they had done any investigations. That's on the one. Yeah, I take your point about naming states. You know, we had two additional mandates given to us by the Human Rights Council 2 years ago, but we never received resources for them. Our staff, you know, it's a small number of staff overworking. We're concerned about their health, in fact. So we couldn't deliver on those two, one of which was to produce a report on the transfer of military equipment by states. We started working on this, and so that's why we're not ready to name any states just yet. But we will get there once we get our resources. Thank you for that.
Thank you. In the front row, please go ahead.
I'm Mohamed Alfinich from Alga TV. According to your report, so clearly Israel commit genocide. Can you please tell us, like, those like headlines you can mention as Israel committed genocide. Another things we've been hearing for the last 2 years, some member of state, they said Israel might commit genocide. After your report, do you think now the things are clear about genocide in Gaza?
In the beginning, for instance, we were the first to denounce and condemn the Hamas attacks that took place on 7th October, and we named them as crimes against humanity, violations of international humanitarian law. And that's where we're thinking, because this is a Human Rights Council, that's the laws they provide. Until we see the evidence, like everybody else is watching the television and seeing it in real life. So it's the facts that moved us to investigate. We gather all the facts firstly, assess, verify, and then we see where the facts take us. Now, the law on genocide, how we found the specific intent by connecting the pattern of the acts as well as statements by the leaders. We've enumerated the statements. They're very explicit on treating all Palestinians as Hamas operatives. So I'll have, Chris, would you like to do the second half of the question on the law itself?
Yeah. Navi mentioned the four categories of genocidal act that we found, and we indicated in the opening statement what those four categories are. But your question is well placed, because we didn't go into the detail that underlay our findings in those areas. And we didn't in our statement today, because these facts are so well known. We have recited them in great length in our report. Our report, you've seen it, runs out around 80 pages in length. But the facts are 60,000, 65,000 dead, at least, of whom at least 20,000 are children. These deaths are not accidents. They are not collateral damage. They are the direct consequence of a military strategy of saturation bombing and scorched earth when it comes to the infrastructure of Gaza and the people of Gaza. The numbers that are seriously, physically or mentally injured are enormous, and that's the second category. We are told, we haven't done comparisons with other wars, but we are told that the number of children that have had one or both legs and arms amputated is greater than in any other conflict this century. Certainly we know the number of children who have lost one or both parent. The trauma, the psychological trauma for children will last their whole lives. That's mental harm. The physical injury to people, the amputations, the illnesses, the compounding of disease because of a lack of medical treatment, the consequences of starvation. A child who is malnourished is affected for the rest of the child's life. Serious physical and mental harm. The destruction of conditions of life. We didn't examine the destruction of the residential towers last weekend. Of course, our report was finished before that. But that was just the culmination of what we did find, and that is the wholesale destruction of the infrastructure of Gaza. Residences, homes, hospitals, universities, schools, museums, churches, mosques, archaeological sites, roads, agricultural facilities, the fishing industry. Our reports over 2 years have built the full picture of the extent of the destruction. And the destruction is such, added in particular to the starvation policies, that the conditions of life in Gaza are unsupportable. The third category of genocidal act. And we, for the first time in a UN report, also examined the question of reproductive violence. And our report, published in March this year, dealt, amongst other things, with the destruction of fertility clinics and fertility facilities in Gaza, affecting the continuity of the Gaza population, the fourth category of genocidal act. So we have built our report on the basis of our own investigations. But we haven't taken second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand information. We haven't relied on other people's reports. We've relied